This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, guys. Happy Friday. 306 DGS. Time for Hancock and Kelly.
Oh, boy.
I've met my match. There's nothing I can do. Like, every time they're on, I'm like, okay, this is the time we don't let Hancock take over with stupid
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
I said it earlier, and I meant it. Like, you are the fastest person, and just when you said that I
his last
just
day.
Keep up is a good enough is a huge compliment. I've never seen anybody that's just steamrolled the show.
Just takes over. I mean, look at this. Here's the show today. Okay, here's the show today.
It's
Friday, so it's light.
I love it.
This is Hancock and Kelly.
Yeah.
I've got voting rights. I got tax for infrastructure. Trump wants $10 million from China. And this son of a bitch, he walks in and he goes.
Can you say that on the radio?
He goes, it's DGS. He goes, we got a picture of Tony and his son catching a fish on the cake. And he goes, fish? I don't like fish. Pause. Especially when they have those eyes.
Yeah. Who wants to eat food that's looking at you?
And Tony's
you got these people, like, they're putting the fish on the salad and the eyes looking up at you. You know, what do you call those things? And it's not right.
No, I have to tell you
things. I do agree with him.
What salad has a
fish
has a
well, now,
a fresh
Columbo,
fish.
Where are you getting
you, you would think, Columbo, I mean, this is your last 19 years.
Yeah.
You've never eaten a salad with a fish eye?
No.
Really?
No one outside of Wuhan has.
No, you. That's they call it the salad.
Fish eye salad.
The guy from Rome. What was his name?
Caesar.
Yes, the Caesar salad.
There's no fish on it.
You grind the eyes.
You put
up
the sardines on there.
Yeah, but there's no eyes
there's
on
no
sardines,
eyeballs.
Dude. There's little hairy things.
Oh, really?
No eyes.
A largemouth.
Are you
bass.
Sure?
There's not an actual fish on the cake.
Now listen, let me save you from this because
there's a picture.
I just don't like. I don't like eating.
Do
eyes.
Have a problem eating fish? If when you know, like they cook a
like
fish
sushi.
Up and then they put the head so
yeah.
on the plate. It's like
yeah. what's the head of the fish?
But they don't do
the
that
fish.
On your salad.
No, well, of course. Listen, pay no attention to him.
I'm telling you,
this boy's not right.
They put those sardines or whatever they called, and they got the eyeballs looking at you.
No, John.
No, John.
There's no such thing as eyeballs and sardines.
436.
Why are you dressed like Wendy from the Hamburger Place?
I do. I do look like. Well, I do kind of look like a picnic table.
Picnic it is. It's
yeah,
every.
Yeah. This is my picnic table shirt.
Tablecloth. Yeah.
My wife picked it out.
I walked in.
I love her.
She does not like you.
No, she doesn't. And you know, that was the thing about.
Look in front of him too.
That was the thing about the careful Columbo. So that was the thing about.
I didn't say what was there.
The thing about COVID for me is I had not spent that much time alone with my wife since she liked me, and so yeah. But we got through it, and we're still married, and she's
good
the
for
best.
You.
Yeah,
good for you.
God bless
well,
her.
I just spent a week with you, and I think the lady ought to be up for canonization.
This guy, by the way, on the laundry. Unbelievable the way he does. I mean, the folding of the laundry was, it was like a military.
So here's what I don't get about my friend John.
He's amazing.
So John's been married for?
30 years.
30 years. So there's certain things that John is like mesmerized that a human being can do for themselves. That I actually don't want anybody touching my laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anybody doing the dishes.
Was.
I don't want anybody
yeah.
doing anything.
Yeah.
But this guy, he's mesmerized that he's like, buddy, you're a good folder. I'm
well,
like,
the
what
arms,
are you talking about, John?
You know, the arms on a T-shirt, just the tuck and the, you know, I mean, he's got it going on, this guy does. Now,
did you guys share a room?
No. We were at my place, but I was doing laundry one night, one morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, John's sitting there grunting, kind of like he's doing right now.
I can't believe
he got
up.
This guy hogs the covers.
Sitting there grunting.
He was just sitting there grunting.
Sitting there grunting.
As he's known to do.
Oh, I don't like to talk, but I kept Hancock out of jail while we were in Florida. So,
you.
It's hard to get thrown in jail in Florida.
So he's... Can I tell this story?
You do whatever you want.
So they've got the, what do you call it, across the street? What's the name of that thing? What's it called?
No, hibachi.
Yeah, the hibachi across the street.
Pacific Ocean.
So we wander over there, and Michael's saying, I want chop chop. I want chop chop. And I'm thinking, you can't
Well, the guy kept trying
sit.
To sit us in the regular seats, and I wanted to be at the place where the guy's throwing the knives and stuff.
He wants the chop chop, which you don't say. I mean, that's just not, you know. I mean, being
okay.
politically
so
correct.
Then, well, how does that get me thrown in jail?
Well, I think they ask us to eat pizza somewhere.
What's the insult there?
Well, chop chop. It's, you know.
I don't know.
All right, fine. It's fine.
That's what my nephew calls it.
I mean, it's a little... It's not the correct
you could say
term,
it's,
but
you
I don't
say
know
it's
that
dicey
it's...
if you're dicing the chop chop. But yeah, that's what we had.
We wound up getting pizza.
I'll miss this. A lot.
This guy
this
is the pizza
one
place.
Thing that I will really.
This is the part I won't miss.
Well, it's only
Do
once
you know
a week.
We're getting relieved already.
Yeah, I can't.
Is
believe
there any
we didn't
truth to the fact that Hancock's going to be taking the Tony tier at the show?
If he does, you can have mine.
You know, a fellow could get a complex.
He's worried that I can't think of a bench, but he can go. You know, the chop chop.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Those people love it.
Oh man.
So you were asked to leave the hibachi, were you?
Apparently. So yeah. So we went and got pizza, and then this guy, he buys out the entire pizza place. He's got the pizza. He's got the.
You want a pizza place now?
No.
I mean, he bought the chicken. What
you're
call it?
You're dealing with a guy who never reaches into his own pocket. So when somebody
incredible.
Orders more than three items, they're
you're
like, "Holy cow, this guy's a big bang baller."
He was.
But I mean, I got some pasta, some salad, some chicken. We were drunk.
No way. No, you. I was perfectly
drunk. I don't know. No one can tell me if you really got kicked out of the hibachi place or not.
Yeah, probably a sign you were.
I'm putting you in the same category.
I think John kicked them out of the place himself.
No, I was very subdued.
So one night he looks at me and he says,
make
Kelly,
sure those are all organized in a row.
It's all good, yeah.
He says, Kelly, you know, we played a little
Is
pool since we've been here.
My height? What's going on there?
You're getting beat. You know, we've done this. Yeah, I beat you at that. We've been playing Scrabble. I beat you at that. How about we go out and play a little putt-putt? Now, imagine being middle-aged men and going to play putt-putt at the putt-putt golf course. I mean, first of all, the moms are looking at us like we're pervs.
Especially the way you fold your shirts.
So nice. I mean, a really, really nice job.
And him dressed like the host of Shakey's Pizza.
Is he measuring up every shot?
Yeah, and he thinks he's Jack Buck, so he's doing play-by-play. And, you know, he's getting slaughtered, and it's a different kind, because it's Florida. This is a kind of an upper end putt-putt, so there's no clown mouths.
It's not an upper end.
No, but it's all like green and blah, blah,
except
blah.
Except for the leaves.
It's nice.
Two times I hit a leaf. How do you hit a leaf playing putt-putt? It was horrible.
Yeah, where do you find a leaf in Florida?
Messed my shot up. But the back nine, you know, I don't like
that. After the turn.
I like to talk.
I won the back
After
nine.
After the turn.
I won the back nine. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, we had a lovely time, and we're grateful to be back. We're sorry we missed you guys last Friday, but when I heard about it was Columbo's last day.
I know.
Like,
how could you? Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy.
What are you going to do with all those multicolored pins you got there?
I don't know. Write some stuff?
That's some good stuff, man.
Write his manifesto.
When you came to work today, I'm sorry, I'm going to try to be Hancock for a minute.
Yeah, good luck.
When you came to work today, like, did you know, like, this is it? Did it feel different, like you were leaving high school or you're going to graduate from college? Or
I haven't felt a human emotion in over 20 years.
Really?
So No, there's no anything there.
But I mean, on Monday you're not going to
be
driving
weird.
Back downtown.
I think that'll be weird. I think it's going to. I think after today is when it's going to get.
Because you're a hardworking dude. I see you here all the time. Now you're going to be sitting at home watching Steve Harvey do the feud.
Yeah, I'm not going to be sitting at home, but it's going to be weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's got that.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
He's got that show. I'm going to miss you talking about the world champion, you know, bass and all that stuff. Who's gonna catch the bass now?
Bo Matthews.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he's gonna take over the. He's been co-host with me for a long time, and I think Mark Cox is gonna be a part of it.
Wow.
Too.
Do you guys think that Bo Matthews might have drank some turpentine when he was a youngster to get timber like that?
I think he's been. Yeah, I think it's.
How do you get that?
He's faking
voice?
It.
I think he goes home and talks normal.
Really?
Hey, honey, how are you?
He gets on the radio and turns into Bo Matthews.
Bo Matthews. Yeah.
I just wonder if anything he says would be the slightest bit interesting if he read it.
Wow. Yeah.
If he didn't have the voice of God, if you just read it, if you'd be like, this guy just says nothing.
Right. If you read the transcripts of the show, it'd be like, this isn't interesting. And you tune in and you're like, I can't stop listening.
We've spanked Bo enough.
We love Bo.
Let's move on to Ryan Recker.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Friday. Gorgeous. Going to be a beautiful summer weekend here. I got Hancock and Kelly with us. Let's talk a little bit of politics.
Let's do it.
Okay. I hate to say my former party because I really was never a Republican, but I'm certainly not now, and I'm not a Democrat. I'm just an orphan. But I have a hard time imagining going back. Just the craziness. And Trump, in his defense, has said nothing. But all the reports are coming out that all of his confidence are reporting that he is saying, August, I'm coming back. And all he wants to hear about is ways to get out of this. And he's going to be reinstated. And even if I believed all this, which I don't, but even if I did, I would say, no, this is terrible. Let's just come back in 2022 and 2024. Your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, August the 32nd is the day that I think everybody's kind of circled on the calendar for Donald Trump to be reinstated. You know, it's interesting. If you look at the polling data, Republicans, the majority of Republicans, if the polls are accurate, believe the election was stolen. It was not. But and a majority.
Yeah, let's stop right there. That settle in.
Yeah.
More than half of registered Republicans think the election was stolen.
Right. So, you know, I mean, and then over half of them, I think if they were provided an option to vote for Donald Trump again, would do it. So that's where the Republican Party is, according to the polling data. Now, you know, he just shut his blog down the other day because nobody was going there. So I don't know. I tend to be a little optimistic and think that there is a role for a right of center party in this country, because I believe that most people in the country live their lives and believe right of center, not you know, on the extreme fringe, but certainly right of center. And if that party can reemerge, and they need to find a champion, and we need to find a champion that can lead. And I don't know who that is right now.
So it was an excellent summary of where the Republican Party is. It's become a conspiracy theory party, and you know the face of it has become Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene and even Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz. I don't see the Ben Sasse. I don't see the rational, true conservative Republican emerging in this, because it's 25% of people, maybe 30%, half of the Republican Party who will believe that Donald Trump's coming back in August. I mean, those people are gone. There ain't no rationalizing with those folks. So they're automatically going to jump on in bed with the craziest loon that's out there.
So let me ask you then, Michael. If you, and this is what you do for a living, but if you had the ear of all the Democrats, would you say, great, let's be moderate and win the next few elections? Or would you say, let's take advantage of this and let's go hard?
I think I'd do exactly what Joe Biden's doing, which is delivering on things that are popular. Now, the media can paint it how they want as fringe or socialist. It's not. It's where the American people are. You know, there's a reason Joe Biden wound up winning this election. I think we talked about it before. I think there was the invisible hand of Barack Obama and really bringing some rational thought into the Democratic primary process in South Carolina. But now that we've gotten there, you know, I don't hear much from AOC. I don't hear much from the fringe Democrats. Not that they're fringe, but, you know, they're on the far left. I understand, but yeah. To folks in my party, hey, we're all in the same boat. But the people whose voice is really resonating right now is Joe Biden, and I think you keep putting Joe Biden out there. Now, long term, Joe Biden's an old man. Is he able to, you know, physically survive all the way to the next election? Who knows? But I think it's doing exactly what we're doing right now. Now, there are people inside of my party that really want us to roll the filibuster, want us to move on voting rights stuff. And there's very good cases to be made for all that. But I think Joe Biden's got it about right. And so does the polling.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. A guy that I have long admired in my party is John Thune, the senator from South Dakota. And, you know, he is a committed conservative. He's, you know, straight down the line, extremely articulate. And he's the kind of person, he's got a little bit of charisma about him. He's the kind of person that I would like to see emerge as a spokesperson and a leader for the conservative cause in the country. Because I do believe that, and I just don't think most people want the government spending the way it's spending now. And I get it, Republicans spent too, and it, you know, but somebody like that who is truly right of center could really make a difference. You know, when Ronald Reagan ran, everybody thought the Republican Party was dead after Nixon. Everybody thought it was dead. And Jimmy Carter gets elected, and then along comes Ronald Reagan. So I wouldn't pronounce it over just yet.
So, but fringe is running amok in both of our parties. Today we heard the announcement that the state auditor, Nicole Galloway, the only statewide Democratic elected official, is not running for re-election. Nicole's not some flaming liberal. She's a pretty left-of-center, moderate Democrat, yeah. Which is about what's right for Missouri. She couldn't get elected in St. Louis City or St. Louis County. Couldn't do it.
As a Democrat.
Yeah. No, it just ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Something's going on out there that's running us to the polar extremes.
Rach, remind me, we had Lyda Crewson on for an hour live the other day. Remind me what she said was so interesting. Like, I'm a mayor in a blue city in a red state. And just, it was, the way she said it was really eloquent. Where it's just almost impossible to get things done.
So think about Lyda's situation. Lyda was one of the original progressives. So I worked on Lyda's campaign. I ran it. She was a left of center Democrat. She was progressive before progressive.
Yeah,
was cool.
Very liberal.
She helped bring the Central West End. Her husband was shot dead in front of her, by random, crime victim, etc. It's such a great story to tell. And then to watch the demonization of Lyda from the left is really unbelievable
to me.
Because she's the one that really brought progressive thinking. You know, she was very popular in the gay community, very popular across the city. And Lyda chose not to run again. I think it was probably a wise decision. But I'm not sure that Lyda Crewson could get elected in St. Louis County right now.
You guys want to stick one more?
Of course.
Sure.
Okay,
great. Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Friday. Thanks for being with us for Tony Colombo's final show.
Boo.
We have Hancock and Kelly with us. Trish Gazelle's in the green room. Trish, want to come in and talk some politics with us? Okay, good.
I told her she could have my mic, and she declined.
Yeah, go on in. So I brought something up to the guys in the break that really seemed to resonate with them. Regardless of what you think of Eric Greitens or McCluskey, there's a pretty good chance that one of these guys are going to be the next senator from the state of Missouri.
Good.
And I said, isn't that kind of what the parties used to exist for, is to make sure things like that didn't happen? And you guys both sort of went crazy. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, so John and I have talked a lot about this. We've almost reformed ourselves to death. We've demonized the parties. And, you know, the parties were the bumpers that kept everything under control in the past.
Yep.
Now you have a Mike Parson or a Nicole Galloway who can take a $1 million contribution. And they don't need the Republican Party. They don't give a care about what's happening to the rest of the party. They take care of themselves. Used to be when you had a party structure, when John and I were directors of the party, the money came through there. And the money and the power allowed us to really put the guardrails in to keep a McCluskey, especially, out of a race because the guy's not even a Republican.
Yeah, and so all of these campaign finance laws that have passed, both at the national level and here in Missouri, have had the effect of, emasculating the party structure. Parties can't take corporate money anymore. And so they just literally don't have any influence. And now you've got these dark money committees or these PACs that get set up that's where all the money goes. Now, it doesn't even go to the campaigns because they can, you know, they have limits on how much they can take. But these PACs don't. And that's where all the power is now in the system. And just look at Washington. You know, when we had earmarks, everybody, you know, hates earmarks. But you know what happened when we had earmarks? We passed stuff with bipartisan numbers.
You negotiated.
Yes. And, you know, and you made deals and you lobbyists. We've taken the power out of a lot of the lobbying community. All of those things existed in the system that were not, you know, enumerated in the Constitution. They were informal power structures that evolved and developed over decades. And it made the political system work. And we've stripped all those things out. And then we decry the fact that we can't get anything done.
And look, since we're here in St. Louis and, watching what happened here, let's talk about Eric Greitens. Dark money funded Eric Greitens to be the governor. Now, that was the rules. It was legal what he did. But the Post-Dispatch and a lot of media in this town spent months upon months upon months examining anybody who was behind giving money to Eric Greitens. I'm telling you right now, we have a mayor and a county executive who have dark money in their races. I don't see many stories written about it. So if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. Look, I think dark money ought to go away, but as long as it's here, it's the rules. But what I have a hard time with is...
Enlighten me about what dark money is.
So dark money is money that goes to a C4, meaning...
501C4.
Dave Glover gives $100,000 to that C4. They can do some amount of political, no more than 49%, as long as they're doing 51% of education.
Okay.
So you can go out and educate people that Dave Glover is the best show on in St. Louis. Fine. You could use educational money for that. If you said you need to go vote for Dave Glover, you have to use the 49%. And so that was dark money. And so we've all heard Rex Sinkfeld. He was demonized for using dark money. We just had a mayor's race where dark money was everywhere. Nobody talks about it. I mean, I don't understand where we're headed, but we have this selective filter that we are watching politics in
right now. And politics was better when we had no contribution limits and a donor could give whatever they wanted to a candidate. And then the candidate is in charge of their own message at that point. And if a voter's got a problem that you took $1 million from a particular donor, then vote against the candidate.
They can use it against you.
Right. But now that $1 million money is going to this 501C4 and it's never disclosed. We don't know who's given that money.
We don't know who was behind Greitens.
We don't. To this day, that's exactly right. So, you know, it's...
Why was it supposed to be a good thing?
Well, it's not.
It's not. The courts ruled.
But the good thing was contribution limits. See, that was the reform. We're going to limit how much these politicians can take from these donors. And so the voters passed it, you know, overwhelmingly.
Even the playing field. Was part of the thing that they said it would do.
Right. Exactly.
Because then you can't have one person come in, give millions of dollars to one candidate and buy that person's seat. It was supposed to even the playing field.
Yeah. And it sounds perfectly lovely.
Yeah, but money always finds a way to work around.
Of course it does.
Water and in politics. So I'm kind of with John. And, if you want to have some limits, set some limits. But at the end of the day, money's going to find a way. And I'd rather know who's behind the money than who's not behind the money.
Yeah, and I think
because
the voters...
Because if it's George Soros, let's see George Soros' face.
Yeah, if he wants to buy an election, at least we'll know he's buying an election.
Yeah. Right. And by the way, he has bought elections. And so has David Koch. And so has... conservatives. I mean, it's out there happening on all fronts. Eric Greitens is the perfect example. I'm going to be especially interested to watch Eric in the Senate race because obviously I'm not close to what's happening there, but he hasn't raised much money publicly that can be seen.
That's right.
And as the gubernatorial candidate, he raised barely any money.
Mm-hmm.
And so where's this money coming from? And are the voters still falling for the same nonsense? Unfortunately, I think they are.
So what I'm most concerned about, the reason Hancock and Kelly exist is in addition to being funny and entertaining, you guys have always represented your respective points of view and parties very well. And I said on the break, and I didn't mean it to be offensive and you didn't take it that way, but you're almost obsolete.
Totally.
And that's completely unacceptable that two smart guys who are basically centrist in their parties are thought of in ill ways by a lot of their own parties.
We're centrist today. I don't think we were centrist 10 years ago.
Yeah,
we were considered to be, you know, the standard bearers of our party. I leave this place. First of all, the callers call in. I'm a communist. The Democrats here think I'm a Dino.
You're
a
not
Democrat
in
name only.
Socialist.
Yeah, you get the same stuff. I mean, because you can have some understanding of each other. You know, I think about the glory days of St. Louis, and that's pretty much what we have to do these days is think about when we were good. Danforth and Eagleton were two people who had extremely different points of view, but they really were able to sit down and navigate a way to find compromise.
Are there
statesmen
anymore?
There are. Yeah, yes,
there's a couple. I think one of them's getting run out. I think Roy Blunt was and potentially is. I don't know what he's up to on January 6th and that nonsense.
How much of this do you think? I have a big theory on this, whether it's protests or riots or it's candidates, that it comes down to it's just more fun. Like, it's just more fun to watch a Marjorie Taylor Greene than to watch a Roy Blunt.
How much more ratings.
Yeah. It's more exciting for people.
Yeah, it's more sensational. I mean, I think that's part of the reason that we've given so much power. The media has given so much power to the fringes of both
parties. That is true.
Because they're the only ones that get any coverage. So anybody looking from the outside would think that AOC and Rashida Tlaib are running the Democratic Party and Marjorie Taylor Greene is running the Republican Party because those are the people that are on television 90% of the time.
Well, I'm convinced that's what Marjorie Taylor Greene's up to, is just say anything to get on television because she really has said almost anything offensive beyond belief. I thought that about AOC, but she seems to be awfully quiet since President Biden came in, don't you think?
Yeah, seemingly. I know they were all out there as it related to the Middle East on the Palestinian side of things, which, you know.
She's leaving it to Cori Bush and Rashida Tlaib these days for now. Yeah. And Ilhan Omar.
And Cori Bush, boy, I mean, she's pounding that. We all know where she stands on police reform. She's still tweeting about it to this day.
That's a winner.
Well, she wants to defund the Pentagon. The largest employer in her district is Boeing. Hello. I mean, how are you representing your constituents? How many of her constituents work at Boeing and she's running around saying defund the Pentagon?
And it's okay. I mean, that's what's crazy to me is that it's okay that people are like, well, she's standing up, and it's like, wait a minute, those are our jobs. Could you imagine Tom Eagleton and Jack Danforth being against beer?
Right.
I mean, being against the St. Louis Cardinals? We have a governor who's against the expansion of Medicaid. He's got the 24th largest corporation on the planet that does only Medicaid stuff in his state. We've got a congresswoman who just got elected who's opposed to Boeing. I mean, it's just, I don't know. People can keep voting for nutty stuff, ratings, whatever they think is Larry David, but your jobs are going away. I just went to Florida, man. Those people got their stuff together. Nashville, they got their stuff together.
Yep.
They're not dealing with Josh Hawley and Cori Bush. They're dealing with people who want to find compromise.
Thank you, fellas. Have a great weekend.
See ya. You guys too. See ya.
Welcome back, guys. 351 DGS. Trish Gazelle joins us now. Trish was going to join us before, but we literally only have so many chairs, right? Like, we only have so many chairs, only have so many mics. How are you? How's your day been?
I'm good.
Good.
Yep. Did a little work on the FM side and then came on in. It's very hot. It's very gross.
FM
very
side.
Sticky.
Is it hot outside?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Tomorrow's going to be worse.
It's really humid.
Oh. Great.
We're the FM side now. 98.7, right?
Yeah, there you go.
I met a ton of people last night, dozens of people at the Grant Farm event I went to, Grant's Farm, and half of them said, dude, you need to push 98.7 more. Like, it is so cool. It's so great. So here I am pushing it. 98.7 FM. It's just that simple. Set it on your dial in your car, and it sounds just like every other FM signal.
Mm-hmm. You know what's funny, though? I called, when you were on 97.1, I called that, like, we were still the FMs. I don't know why. It must have been the talk thing. But people on that side of the building refer to both of them as the FMs.
Yeah, totally get it. You guys see that more and more stuff is leaking out about the UFO report. The UFO report is done. It's coming out in a couple weeks. And the big, like, I'm looking at Drudge right now, all red capitals. It says, government finds no evidence of alien spacecraft. Can't rule out secret Russian tech? Now,
That's what they want us to think.
I mean, I'm a UFO nerd, no doubt. I want there to be aliens. And I want to know about them. But I'm way more concerned if Russia or China has technology that will do this than I am about aliens. And one of the reasons I don't think that they do is if they did, they would have used it. Now, maybe I've just...
And they'd be bragging about
it. Yeah, I've bought the United States John Wayne propaganda, and I just think that if we did have that technology, we wouldn't use it against them. I don't think we're those kinds of people. Maybe I'm wrong, but I do think they're those kinds of people.
Vladimir Putin has many times in the past given state addresses where he has video playing in the background, and they're showing the Russian people this technology that they have and how this is why you live in the greatest nation in the world and we can do this to our enemies. And a lot of it's been proven to not be true. So they have shown themselves to absolutely be the kind of country and the kind of leaders that would, if they
love to brag
truly had that, would love to brag about it, because they brag about things now that they don't even have.
Well, here's another point.
So of course they would.
Another point I want to make is, I'm disappointed in our government. I understand that figuring out whether there are aliens and who they are is not like crossing the street. But if we've known for decades that there are credible reports, make it in the top 10 jobs you have. Whether it's in the budget or it's black dollars, whatever it is, don't let it be 2021 and still going, we don't know.
Well,
that's not acceptable.
Is this at all related to what's going to be released, the
yes.
information?
Yes.
So, I mean, is it possible that you're going to find out more?
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to find out a ton more.
If it comes out that it's that, if we get the report on June 29th and it says...
There's something.
It says what we've already always been saying, like,
yes.
we don't know what it is for sure.
Yes.
We can't rule out
that's
anything.
That's what I think it's going to be, Tone.
Then that is a bunch of crap.
That's what I think it's going to be.
If that's the case, then we know that they're hiding stuff.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting.
If that's the story.
When the order was, give us everything you have, I was expecting tens of thousands of pages.
Yeah, okay. Show me an alien, man.
Show me everything you got. Show me every photo. Show me every video. Show me every report. Then we can make up our own minds. If they come out with some BS report saying, like, yeah, they appear to be real, but we don't know what it is, I'm ready. I'm ready to storm the Capitol.
Apparently the final report still has one classified annex.
Say that again, Rach.
So it says in this article from The Sun, the final report will still include one classified annex, according to the New York Times. Officials said the annex will not contain any evidence of alien activity, but the fact that it must remain classified will likely fuel increased speculation. Why should we believe them that it doesn't include evidence of alien activity?
Right, when they're holding something back. That's crazy.
So this... expert that they're talking to in this article says, I think the general public will be disappointed because you're not going to be able to see much of anything.
Also,
in the report.
We are the United States government. It's us. That information belongs to us, bought and paid for mm-hmm. by the American citizens, not the Senate, not the president, not the Congress, us. There are 330 million of us, and I know it's stupid that this is my issue. This is what gets my dander up. But this is our right to know everything. And I don't know. This is unacceptable.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.